Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Thanks for tuning in today. Good to have you along. I hope that your weekend has gone well. I'm Neil Stavem. This is Connecting Faith. Ross at the controls. Carissa's on the phones. Ted, tomorrow, Reformation Day.
That's right. Yeah, 500 years ago. Big anniversary celebration.
We're going to talk about it tomorrow. Erwin Lutzer is one of our guests tomorrow, so it'll be great. In fact, we recorded a conversation because he's actually in Germany preaching over the next few days. So. I'm not sure if he's preaching in German, but
he's not nailing anything to doors either.
As far as I know. But speaking of Reformation, if the church, the North American church at least, had a Reformation in their giving to God's work, there could be some amazing kingdom advance if we got that in order. We're going to talk a little bit about that today, about how we invest as wise stewards. And to have biblically responsible investing, and also we're going to talk a little bit about some of the ministries that we just maybe need to be aware of. Ministry maybe in their title, but not necessarily in the way they operate. And we all know that there are charlatans there that take way too much good funds that could be used for something really meaningful, valuable.
Yeah. Sadly, there are a lot of scams that are still happening, and so it'll be good to be aware of those.
So we're going to welcome back a friend we've had on over the years, Rusty Leonard. Howard Rusty Leonard is CEO of Stewardship Partners Investment Council, located in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's Stewardship Partners is an investment manager dedicated to helping Christian investors align their investing with their biblically-based worldview. And prior to that, Rusty served as executive vice president of the Templeton Investment Council, and where he served the firm's portfolio management committee and managed $3.5 billion mutual funds and account assets. So has a great track record. In fact, noticing in his bio that his investment career business actually began in 1978 at age 19 when he became a registered representative. So he's got a long track record of investments. And maybe more importantly to us, he serves as the CEO of Biblically Responsible Investing Institute. We're going to talk about what that is. And about 20 years ago or so, he and his wife founded a nonprofit ministry that provides prospective donors of Christian ministries with updated information about how those funds are used. It's called Ministry Watch. In fact, if you go to ministrywatch.com, you can see a great deal of information there that will be of help to you. So, Rusty, welcome back to Connecting Faith. Good to talk with you again.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Neil.
We want to talk a little bit about Ministry Watch and the good work there, but let's talk about Stewardship Partners and Biblically Responsible Investing. If you were to sort of summarize what or how a good steward should invest or would invest, what would that look like?
Well, when we approach it, try to figure it out, and obviously nobody can do this perfectly, but you try to say, if Jesus was here on earth at this time instead of over 2,000 years ago, and he was a carpenter and he had a 401k plan or something like that, how would he look at it? How would he view it, and how would he decide how he's going to invest that? And so we try to view it from that perspective and say, let's mimic what we think Jesus would do. And of course, we may not get that perfectly right, but we try our best, and we try to eliminate those stocks that and bonds and other any kind of connection to organizations that would be something that wouldn't honor the Father, because we believe that Jesus would be seeking to do everything he could to honor his Father with his investments. And so we're just trying to do the same thing. So we try to identify, and are pretty successful, I think, at identifying those companies that are really way out of bounds, and we avoid those, and we try to focus on those that are really doing good things for humanity and being a blessing to mankind. Nobody's perfect. No person is perfect. No company is perfect. But there are many companies that are doing much more good, and there are some companies that are do quite a bit of bad. So we avoid the bad, focus on the good, and there's plenty of the good ones around, so we can still do well for our clients with those. Why? why be part of anything that would be, you know, distressing to the Lord?
Sure. We maybe have heard of socially responsible investing, and you talk about biblically responsible investing. We're going to talk about the distinctives of that in a moment. But just as you look across the landscape today, maybe just in terms of the North American church, how have we done in terms of maybe investing in, advancing God's kingdom and opportunities there to, I mean, part of your work has been looking at ministries that have been asking for money and, do reports of Ministry Watch. But what's your sense of maybe how Christians are doing in maybe discernment about where to invest?
Terrible. It would be the best example or best word I could use, sadly. But it's not something that has gotten on the radar screen of most Christians, unfortunately. And I will say it's better than it was. There has been improvements over the years because there's more and more people doing biblically responsible investing and making, talking to their clients about it. But it's still quite a small percentage. And it's not something that historically Christians have resonated with for whatever reason. And it's quite odd because you mentioned socially responsible investing. And which basically represents the liberal side of our political sphere, if you want to look at it that way. And so they're supportive of not all of them, but most of the time they're supportive of Planned Parenthood and abortion and homosexual rights and things that are all the gender stuff that's going on right now. They're all supportive of that. And these are clearly sinful things. And that's where the SRI community is, a socially responsible investing community. So that's why BRI exists, because we as Christians could not latch into that socially responsible investment community and feel like we were doing the Lord's will. We needed to come up with something different that represented our values, not values of people who basically deny the Bible and the truths therein.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of your goals, I guess, in general is that clients can make more money than maybe they would otherwise without some investment advice, mm-hmm. and then they can do that while honoring the Lord, and then give out of their abundance. And I guess that's maybe another side of it too. The statistics are pretty sobering, I guess, in terms of how much giving to ministry actually happens across the church. I mean, there's a lot more kingdom advanced work that could be done if we were a bit more generous.
Oh, no doubt about that. But I do want to say that Christians relative to most other groups give more, and churches get the majority of the giving that is done in this nation, religious institutions generally, but Christian churches in particular. So I will give a pat on the back to our fellow Christians out there. But we're still coming up way short of kind of the biblical mandate of 10% of your income. And so if we were able to convince people that, first of all, that if we could make them so much money that they had an abundance and they could say, you know what, I don't feel ill at ease, or I don't feel like I'd be undermining my future, retirement years if I started to give more generously, that'd be step one, right? Put people in a place of abundance where they realize that they've been blessed and they can give with, complete generosity. So that's our hope at the stewardship partners level. That's the investment management arm where we hope to make our clients money, more money than they otherwise would have made. And then we hope to do it in a way that honors God using the BRI principles. And then finally, we use the ministrywatch.com website to help steer people towards the ministries that are really doing good work and hopefully help people avoid getting trapped into some of those that are doing suspect work.
Well, we'll dive into some of those in a few moments here, but maybe just to say a word, Rusty, about the market today. I mean, it's charting new record territory, and optimism on Wall Street is all that justified? I mean, as you sit back and look at that, you've been doing this for a long time. Are we waiting for a 2008 to happen again?
Well, it's never, it's really never possible to fully gauge those things accurately, right? As much as we try, and we do try, but we know in advance that it's difficult to know what the market's going to do on any given day or any short-term period of time. From a longer-term perspective, though, you can tell that the market is at a risky point. That doesn't mean that it's going down tomorrow or that it's going to go down like it did in 2008, sometime in the near future. But it's probably going to go down sometime soon. The statistical evidence is just overwhelming, that the market is overdone at the moment. We've set a new record for the period of time between 3% corrections in the market. Now, a 3% correction is nothing, right? It should happen kind of randomly, and in the past, it normally does. You know, so the stock price is basically falling 3% or more from where they reached their most recent high. Well, for over a year now, we haven't had that happen, or about a year. And that's just crazy, you know, just, you know, all the stuff that's gone on this year, all the things that should have rattled the market from time to time, none of it has rattled the market. The market's been going straight up. So you know that we're in a extremely bullish phase. And when that happens, it tends to get overdone, which is what it appears to be now. I can just, you know, quote you statistic after statistic about how all these internal market measures are overheated. And so you need to be concerned at this stage of the game, for sure, because of those things. It's there should be some kind of a sell-off. And if there isn't, that's going to just load the spring even tighter. And when we eventually do get a sell-off, it'll be, you know, a little bit bloodier than it would be if we just got one now. Mm-hmm. So hopefully people out there who are listening will hear what I'm saying and say, you know, I'm not as cautiously positioned in my portfolios as I should be. Maybe I better switch that on. But I will say this. It's also difficult, and somebody who has a different point of view come back at me and say, the economy's doing great. You know, corporate earnings are going well, and they are. So in my most recent quarterly commentary, which you can find on stewardshippartners.com, I had a line in there that said, these are the times to try investment managers' souls, because the fundamentals are looking pretty good in terms of global economic growth and corporate profits, but the market is looking like it's got that all priced in, and it's what we like to say is priced for perfection, right? So if everything doesn't stay perfect, right now things are pretty perfect. If it doesn't stay perfect, and of course it never will stay perfect, you'll see a downturn in the market at some point.
Should we just expect greater volatility, though? That it's not going to be, maybe instead of the 3% corrections, they're 5-10% corrections. Is that the world that we're moving toward?
Absolutely. We're going to have another, you know, 10% or 20% correction at some point in time. 20% is pretty rare. 10% is kind of normal. So sometime in the next year, if we don't have a 10% correction, I'll be just shocked, right? I mean, that's just kind of normal. And in fact, your listeners, maybe they should ignore my advice even. And just, if that's all you get is a 10% correction, you can live through that, right? If you don't need your money anytime soon, you could probably ignore that. What you need to worry about is the 2008 type of correction. And you want to avoid those if you can. I don't really see anything like that right now, but I always like to say that if the Lord wants to pull the rug out from underneath the financial markets at any time, he can do so. There's any number of things that can occur that would send things, you know, spiraling downward. And, you know, we're always at some risk of something like that. But I would say that at the moment, we're not anywhere near as high a risk as we once were to, in the U.S. at least, to that kind of decline. The banking system is strong. And we haven't gone haywire anywhere near as much as we did in the pre-2008 period.
You like to ask Rusty Leonard an investment question, knowing that, you know, it's free advice, so you get what you pay for. No, but Rusty has a great track record. He's the CEO of Stewardship Partners Investment Council, also CEO of Biblically Responsible Investing Institute. And we're going to talk a little more about that, as well as MinistryWatch.com. All that coming up here in the moments ahead. Talk about, you know, some keys to biblically responsible investing, and, you know, how can we expect companies to operate in a biblical way if they're not Christian companies. Help us work through some of those things. Our phone number, by the way, is 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. You want to join the conversation with Rusty Leonard, you're welcome to give us a call. We'll talk more in just a moment on Connecting Faith. Good stewards, the resources God has given us, and Christians need to be informed about financial decisions and to look at God's Word for how to be wise investors. And we're talking today with Rusty Leonard, CEO of Stewardship Partners Investment Council. He's also owns and serves as CEO of Biblically Responsible Investing Institute. And they provide some key ways for us to apply biblical principles to our investment. Rusty, you want to talk more about that? We mentioned that, you know, it's different from socially responsible investing, which tends to be on the liberal side of things. So are there some key distinctives of BRI if we want to invest in that way? What does that portfolio look like?
Well, you're going to avoid companies that have anything to do with abortion, first off. There will be no exposure to that particular, at least in Stewardship Partners' rendition of BRI. There are other organizations that are, you know, say that they're biblically responsible investment managers as well, and almost all of them, I think, do eliminate abortion, but there can be other areas where there might be differences of opinion as how much you should avoid certain things. So, but basically, it's going to line up along these social arguments that our nation is having, and we're going to come off on the you know, the biblically based side of that. So, in issues like abortion, of course, we're going to take any company that has donates money to Planned Parenthood, or you know, makes drugs that are involved in the abortion process, or operates hospitals or clinics that provide abortions. You know, they're all going to be eliminated. Or drugstores that supply abortion drugs to patients, they all are eliminated from investment. We just won't have anything to do with that. Of course, there's lots of other things out there. Some are not as obvious. There's a lot of, you know, the Bible has tons to say about helping the poor. And there are many companies that are out there that are, you know, trying to take advantage of the poor. They're already in bad financial shape, and they'll charge them the fortune to have their checks cashed or loan them money at usurious rates and things like that. So we make sure that we avoid all those types of companies as well. And sometimes even a large bank will fall into that category where they've got some operations which we think look a little suspicious, like they're trying to take advantage of the poor. So we try to eliminate those as well, amongst many, many other things that you can imagine that we're looking at in today's day and age when sin seems to be more rampant than ever. And it's also, you know, just as it's seeping into parts of society that never had been in before, you know, pornography, for example, we were seeing that happen in the corporate sphere as well. So we're seeing a growth of corporations allowing themselves to get entangled in some of these sinful behaviors because it's profitable. And somehow over the years, it's become acceptable for them to do so, whereas years ago, they would have been ostracized for having done so. So we keep track of all that at the Biblically Responsible Investing Institute, and we utilize that data when we go to invest our clients' money, and we also sell that data to others who utilize it as well.
Well, aren't all businesses probably, even if they're run by Christians, can they behave in a totally Christian way? I mean, there's always, seems like there's something maybe that would be objectionable, or maybe that line between moral and immoral, you know, is kind of dependent on someone's viewpoint sometimes.
Well, like each one of us, you know, there's no perfect company out there. We're all sinners, and all the companies are sinners. And if we delve deep enough, even if on the surface it looks like, wow, this company's really good, I'm sure if we delve deep enough, we'd find something that was a little concerning. So we don't try to be, you know, too literalist about these things. Otherwise, we just basically say, don't invest. If that's the approach you want to take, you know, you shouldn't invest. You shouldn't have any friends. You shouldn't go to church because all these places have sinners, right? So you need to, you know, have some degree of adaptability to the situation, and you focus on those companies that are, you know, doing more good than bad by a large measure. And that's what we do. And those companies that are involved in heinous things, we're definitely going to exclude them from investment. There are compromises that have to be made. You can't have a perfectly clean portfolio. It's just not possible because, as you point out, every company is a sinner. But we do certainly have what we feel, at least, is about as good a quality of portfolio from a sin perspective as you're going to find. And we feel pretty good about the companies that we have in our portfolio. In fact, we highlight one in each of our quarterly commentaries. And we, you know, it's amazing when I go through and show you all the good things that the companies are doing in terms of how they treat their employees and how they donate money from the profits of the company to various charitable things. And we often find companies that donate money to Christian organizations as well, even though the company itself is not necessarily a Christian organization. It may have Christian leadership. Most recently, we focused on a company called VMware, where the CEO of the company is a strong Christian, and he's trying to implement those Christian type of principles and thoughts into that organization. And while it may not be espoused as a, you know, we're doing this because of, you know, James chapter 3, verse, you know, whatever, he's, you know, he's still taking biblical principles and applying them. And you can see that in the write-up we had in our quarterly commentary.
Which you can get with stewardshippartners.com. Is that the website?
Correct.
Yeah. Stewardshippartners.com. Just, you know, maybe someone says, you know, my investment, you know, the portfolio is pretty small. So does, you know, does my stock, either buying or not, does it really make a difference? I mean, can we have an influence in culture by BRI?
We view that as a secondary consideration. The first and primary consideration is that, you know, your relationship with the Lord. And so as a devout Christian person, you're looking at yourself and you're saying, you know, I just want to honor the Lord. And so even if your action has no direct impact on the outcome for how sin is rampant in the world, it still matters, probably matters 100% more to the Lord that you are faithful in your individual walk, even if it has no impact on the rest of the world and changing things for the better. You at least are being faithful, and I think being called, you know, we're all called to be faithful, and that faithfulness is really the key thing. If we all were faithful, there's no question in my mind, however, that we'd have an impact on the world, because there's so many of us Christians out there. We can see how the homosexual community, with a very small percentage of the population, managed to achieve so much for their cause by being more dedicated than we as Christians have been to our cause. And so if we, even just some of the Christians out there, became as dedicated as the homosexual groups became to their cause and trying to influence corporate behavior to achieve their causes, well, I'm pretty sure we'd see a big change. But in my mind, that's a secondary thing. The first thing is just to be faithful to the Lord and try to do your best in your walk. And, you know, the Lord will handle all the rest of this stuff. Again, if we all did it, you know, you can be sure there would be a huge impact on our culture.
Talking today with Rusty Leonard, who's the CEO of Stewardship Partners Investment Council. He's also owner or the owns and serves as CEO of Biblically Responsible Investing Institute, and we've been talking a little bit about that today. One of the third elements of their focus is called Ministry Watch, and you can go to ministrywatch.com to find out about that, because that's where they review some, I don't know, 400 plus or so of the largest Christian ministries in the United States today, and give assessment of how they're using their funds and making good use of those dollars that get contributed. So we're going to talk about that in the moments ahead as we talk more about how can we be wise stewards and invest not only in ways to get a good return, but in a way that would honor the Lord and you know, ways to advance his kingdom. That's the ultimate goal. Rusty Leonard is my guest today. He's an investment manager dedicated to helping Christian investors align their investing with their biblically based worldview. And he's with us today on Connecting Faith. Our phone line's open, by the way. We've got another 15 minutes with Rusty. And if you have a question, an investment question, or something to do with maybe just ministry concerns, we're going to get into, you know, some areas to be watchful of here in the moments ahead. You can join us with a phone call at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH, or drop us a note online, myfaithradio.com, and click on Connecting Faith. You know, as Christians, if we used God's word as our guide in following good stewardship and investments, better financial decisions could lead to increased wealth creation and a greater capacity to donate generously to the Lord's work. And that is at the heart of Rusty Leonard's work. He and his wife founded the Ministry Watch way back in, I think, about 1998 or so. He has been involved in investment managing for years, CEO of Stewardship Partners Investment Council, and CEO of Biblically Responsible Investing Institute. And we want to talk about one of the aspects of their outreach. It's called Ministry Watch. And that's really just something that, Rusty, kind of came out of your own awareness of how many maybe believers were kind of choosing poorly when they were supporting ministries that weren't necessarily deserving.
Yeah, it was really part of our own, my wife and I's own walk. We realized that as an investment manager, I had access to tons of information and data to make wise choices for my clients on the investment side. But when it came to giving money away, there was almost no information out there that you could count on that was helpful in, you know, sorting through the various opportunities you had. And then we started asking for some of that information. We got some not so great answers from some of the ministries, and we realized that the problem was bigger than we even thought. And we really felt, in the end, we just felt called by the Lord to you know, do something about that, and Ministry Watch was the answer. And so we tried to provide donors with some basic financial information, and in some cases additional information beyond that at Ministry Watch to help narrow their search, or at least to alert them to some of the frauds that might be out there, and keep, you know, steering all these faithful folks that are listening to your show today, just to help steer them in a direction where their giving will be making the most impact in the kingdom. And that's what we're trying to do. And I think over the almost 20 years we've been at this, we've probably had some significantly good influence on folks.
Do you have
there's still a lot of work to be done.
Yeah. Do you have some metrics that you use, or because we could all have, I suppose, some inherent bias when it comes to, well, I don't really care for that ministry, or, I'm not in favor of TV evangelist or whatever it was or something. So how do you go about kind of assessing?
Well, the basics of it is there's every ministry has to do the same three things, which is they have to raise money, they have to spend money, and they have to figure out a way to keep their ministry in business by maintaining a strong balance sheet. So those are three basics that every ministry, no matter who they are, has to do. And so we try to measure how well each ministry is doing that, and then compare them one to another, and provide a rating that's kind of sums it all up for the folks who are on our website checking these things out. So that gets pretty complicated, much too complicated to fully explain on the show today. But you can count on us being kind of people who love numbers. I like to say I never met a number I didn't like. So you can count on us having worked those numbers pretty hard and done our best to try to sort that stuff out for you. But in the end, it really comes down to you and the Lord. And we just try to be a helpful piece of information that you can factor in there that the Lord may use to spur you to give to one place, or maybe not to give to a certain place. But in the end, it's between the donor and the Lord to really sort it all out and know what they need to do.
MinistryWatch.com is the website. MinistryWatch.com. I recommend it to you. So do you find the average donor maybe knows more about the charitable giving today, especially ministries? Are they better informed? I mean, if they've been following Ministry Watch, hopefully they are. But what's are we any better at supporting ministries than we are at maybe investing biblically responsibly?
I wish. I have to say, I guess I'm pretty ineffective because I've been at it for a long time, and I don't think we've made a huge difference. Unfortunately, there. I don't know what the cause of that is, but I will say this: that there's been no shortage of scams that can continue, and the size and scope of some of them are just enormous. I'd like to bring to everybody's attention Gospel for Asia, which is a huge scam, and you should go to our website and check that out and get the information there. But if any of your listeners have been taken into donating to Gospel for Asia, they need to stop that immediately, because that money is really being abused and not used for the purposes that it was. You think it's being used for. And so certainly go to our website if you're a Gospel for Asia donor, and make sure you understand what's happening there.
New ones come along all the time. I mean, we've had over the years, Senator Grassley back years ago, right, was trying to attempt to establish some guidelines for television ministries, but it seems some are still out there. And once you're on the mailing list, it's almost impossible to get off.
Yeah, what was the fascinating thing with Grassley? What he was trying to do was very good, and I was like very encouraged that this was that he was taking this cause up, and he's a Christian man himself. But sadly, he made some good strides and really put the heat on some of these guys. But in the end, he lost, and the bad guys won, and he backed off. The political pressure got too great, and some of that pressure obviously was coming from the bad guys, the televangelists who were raking in all the money, but some of the pressure came from conservative Christians who thought, and maybe they're right in this, they thought that if there was going to be increased government regulation, in the end, that regulation might be used to hurt good ministries. And so they were more content to have the bad ministries flourishing than have all ministries under the thumb of increased government regulation. And like I said, it's hard to know whether they were right in that determination. But even some of the kind of the solid Christian organizations went to the senator and said, back off. And so eventually he did.
So let's talk about what would be some guidelines that you could give us about supporting ministries that or avoiding some that, they got a good presence, wonderful, mailing list, direct mail, whatever it is. I mean, how do we really discern that?
Yeah, it's hard. You have to use discernment. You have to work a little bit harder, which is not something that, most of us, including myself, who wants to work hard, right? You have to really discipline yourself to do it. And so one of the things is you go to ministrywatch.com, but there are other sources out there. You just search the internet for a ministry's name, and you might dig up a few things that you didn't otherwise know that might influence your thinking. I'll give another example, how easy it is to be thrown off track. Just this week I was traveling in a hotel room, and on multiple occasions on the television saw an advertisement for the International Fellowship of Christian and Jews. And it's a very they typically use very emotion-laden advertisements, and these poor people in Israel need your help, and they're Holocaust survivors, and so on and so forth. And they have great video of older women who look troubled and poor, and your heart really goes out to them, and you want to help. But when you look further, if you go to ministrywatch.com, you might discover that they're spending an awful lot of money on themselves. And that the guy whose face you see on the television, he's paying himself over $1 million every year, and his family members are also getting paid. And there's some concern about how much of your money is actually being diverted to non-ministry purposes by virtue of this type of advertising. And it's it's very easy, as I said, to be caught up in the emotion of the ad. They're very talented at putting these ads together and know how they can get you and so drag you into their lair, so to speak. And there's really very little regulation over these organizations, so they can say pretty much anything they want. So it's you do need to be discerning.
Are there if we take the time to look at their year-end report, if the fundraising side of it, if that's over 15% or something, is that a red flag, or is that just the cost of doing business today or doing ministry?
Well, if you're really enterprising, I wouldn't just get all tied up in that. Oh, that's if it gets 15% is high, almost three times the norm if you look at our database. But there may be certain ministries that's justifiable, right? If they're up in the 30% range, you should definitely say, that's not right. But one of the things, if you really were enterprising, you would get their audited financial statements, and you would look through the notes to those audited financial statements. And one of the key things you would want to look for is the related party transactions note. And if there are related party transactions, that means this is where they have to disclose where they are giving some of the money that's coming in to organizations or people that are affiliated with the people in control of the organization. So again, with the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, the rabbi who is leads that ministry, he's diverting. It would be shown in there in his audited report. It would be shown that he's being paid X amount of dollars, and his wife is being paid X amount of dollars, and his kids are being paid X amount of dollars, and you would see all that information. Now, in some cases, though, depends on how the ministry is structured. If it's structured as a church rather than as a 501c3 parachurch ministry, if it's structured as a church, they don't have to produce that documentation, and you might never know. So you need to be checking the internet, looking for people who are complaining about it, and seeing if there's other concerns that have been raised by others, as well as going to ministrywatch.com, because we do that for you.
Yeah. Is the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, is that similar to what you're doing, or is that a sort of a different set of guidelines?
It's both. So it's similar in the sense that they're trying to keep an eye on ministries, It's different in that they're doing it from the perspective of the ministries, and we're doing it from the perspective of the donor. So our job at MinistryWatch.com is to look out for the donor's interests. ECFA's primary job is to look out for the ministry's interests. So as an example, they in the past, almost all the time, when a ministry is caught doing something bad, they don't put out a press release and say, hey, this ministry is bad, Mr. Donor. You need to avoid it. They just quietly escort them out of the ECFA. And they don't let donors know. You have to ask them. You would have to contact them directly and say, how come they're not a member of the ECFA anymore? And most people are not going to even notice that. So that's the reason that the ECFA does that is they don't want to cause people to stop giving to good ministries, so they don't want to be highlighting all the bad stuff that's going on. But from a donor perspective, we want to know what's going on. We don't want to be caught donating to a bad ministry. And so that's where Ministry Watch comes in and helps the donor, because we're here. We're funded by the donors. ECFA is funded by the ministry. So, you kind of, as you said earlier, something about getting what you pay for. If you're not paying for the ECFA, if you're not donating any money to the ECFA, chances are the ECFA is not working directly for you. They're working for somebody else. But if you donate money to Ministry Watch, we are working for you.
I guess it gets back to the basics. And for me, just even the word in the title, Stewardship Partners Investment Council, I mean, that stewardship really it reminds us that it's not our money to start with, right?
That's right. And I like in the same way I like the title of your show, Connecting Faith, because what we're trying to do is take your faith and connect it to the financial arena of your life so that you can honor God in that respect as well. And I'm pretty sure that anybody who connects their wallet to their faith and does so successfully is truly a unique and honorable Christian, because most folks have a real hesitancy and difficulty in doing so. It's that part of our being that we struggle to connect those two things.
I appreciate Rusty Leonard, who's been doing the investment management dedicated to helping Christian investors align their investing with their biblically based worldview for many years. And he does it through Stewardship Partners. The stewardshippartners.com is the website to go to. They also have the Biblically Responsible Institute. Investment Institute, and you can also find out about the MinistryWatch.com, which is a way to check on how ministries are using the funds that you provide them with. And so I want to thank Rusty for that. StewardshipPartners.com or MinistryWatch.com, a couple of key websites to add to your favorites and make the most of it there. Rusty, good to visit with you again. Thanks so much for coming on today.
Always a pleasure, Neil. Happy to be with you.
You're listening to Connecting Faith. Rusty Leonard joining us today. And coming up in a moment, we'll talk a little bit more about some financial rules, how to invest wisely. And part of that is giving some away. We'll get to that just ahead. Stay tuned. It's 47 past the hour. I'm talking with Rusty Leonard this show about biblically responsible investing and about their great ministry called MinistryWatch.com, which is a free service. Anybody can use it, but they are a 501c3, so it certainly benefit from support if that's something that you care about deeply. And we're going to talk more about money. Mary Hunt, award-winning, best-selling author and columnist, and she was on with us, talked with Joe Bender here a while back when her book came out, Seven Money Rules for Life, How to Take Control of Your Financial Future. We'll be talking a little bit about being good stewards of the resources we have. Mary's top three rules are this: spend less than you earn. Of course, that should be obvious. Two is save for the future. And three is give some away. And that's where we pick up the conversation Joe Bender had with Mary Hunt.
Mary, I love rule number three because you encourage us for many reasons to give some of our money away. And yet that flies in the face of saving money. So how do you justify that, and how can you encourage people to take advantage of that rule?
Without doing this rule, none of the others are going to work. In fact, it's kind of true of all the rules. They fit together like a puzzle. They work together. Listen, we live in a country where we have so much abundance, but we have another thing. It's a big enemy, and it's called greed. I don't know about you, but your kids, my kids, little ones, we pick it up. We learn it. It's almost like it's in the air. We feel greedy. We want everything we see. We want it in all the colors. We want it right now. We don't want to have to wait. It is a terrible thing. And the antidote for greed is gratefulness. The way we express gratefulness in a tangible way is that we give away some of what we have. That just does so much for our attitudes, for those attitudes of entitlement, for the pity parties that many of us have. Oh, my house isn't big enough, or, oh, the neighbor's got a new car. Oh, I need a new car. You know, all of those things will melt away, and they should, because greed is not a good thing for our hearts. The way to do that is to give some away. You know, find the passion of your heart. Where does your heart lie? What is really ministering to you in your life? You need to support. You need to give some of your money. If you can't think of one thing in the whole world that is worth for you to give away some of what you have, look at the needs in your own neighborhood. You know, is there a homeless shelter? Is there a church that's got a pregnancy center for young moms where these babies are being rescued and all? What is it? Ask God to show you where even a small amount of your income given with hands wide open, no strings attached. Oh, my goodness. This is going to just, it's going to turbocharge your efforts in wanting to live below your means, to save for the future, to be able to put these money rules to work in your life. Saving money, rule number two, is the way that we slay that horrible thing in our lives called fear. Fear of running out of money. Fear of never having enough. Fear, fear, fear. When you're saving, putting money aside, that melts away. And giving takes care of the other enemy of greed. Giving back. You know, it's no wonder God tells us to do this. He wants us to do this. This is why he blesses us, so that he can learn to trust us to bless others. I really, truly believe that. And, you know, I can't prove it in your life. Only you can do that. But I'll promise you something, you will never regret the effects, the wonderful pouring out of God's grace and mercy. He says he will open the windows of heaven. He's done that on me, and it won't be in terms of money necessarily, but there are so many other things called joy, peace, patience, satisfaction, a willingness to thank him in all things. I'm telling you something, that rule number three, boy, it's going to change your life. It's going to take some faith. It may take a big leap of faith. But come on, why are you here on earth anyway? You are here to have a purpose. You are here to praise God, to share him with the world. And what a better way than if you are a peaceful, happy person yourself. I'm telling you, rule number three will do it.
Well said, Mary. Rule number three, give some away. As we move to rule number four, it takes a little bit more homework on our part. It says, anticipate your irregular expenses and then prepare accordingly. What do you mean by irregular expenses, and how can we prepare for those?
Well, I have an example. Let me tell you. I don't know how many of our listeners remember something called the Christmas Club. Christmas Club account. Our parents had them. Some of us may have had them. They're not very popular anymore now that credit cards are so prevalent in our country. But think about the Christmas Club. The way it worked was on January 1, or the first week of January, people who had paychecks would sign up for Christmas Club. And what that would do, you'd tell the bank, I want you to take out $10, $15, $20 out of my paycheck every week when I deposit it to the bank. I'm giving you permission, authority to do this. Take it out before I even see my check. And I want you to put it into my Christmas Club account. What would happen is the money would just would disappear, but with your authority. And you know what would happen after a couple of weeks? You'd forget. You'd totally forget because, you know, you don't see it. You don't miss it. And then come Thanksgiving, usually the week after Thanksgiving, the bank would send a check in the mail to you for the contents of your Christmas Club account. Wow. It was amazing. $600, $700, maybe even $800 for your Christmas shopping, and you go, what? You feel so good about yourself that you were smart enough to save a little tiny bit every week in anticipation of something you knew was coming, but was so far away you didn't think it would really get here that fast.
Mm.
Can you imagine if we took that same concept, which is exactly what I've done here, and do this for other irregular expenses? Now, I'm not talking about the rent, the food, the car payment every month. I'm talking about things like, well, Christmas, that's a good one. How about family vacation? How about refrigerator repair? If you think your refrigerator is never going to break down, you're fooling yourself. It's going to happen someday. How about car repairs? How about that life insurance bill that comes twice a year? You're never ready for it. How about the property insurance, property taxes? Some of us pay that only once a year. It's a huge bill. The way to find peace and to make sure you're never going to get caught unaware is to set up the same kind of effort that you do with a Christmas Club account. You do this yourself. I teach you how to do this in rule number 4 in chapter 7 on page 93. I teach you how to do this. It's very easy. And then you break it down. 1/12, if you're thinking of how much you should be saving monthly, or 1/52nd of that total bill. Like, say you're going to spend $1,000 on Christmas. You break it down. How much would you have to set aside every week in cash in order to do that? And then you do it. You can set this up as a savings account at your credit union or bank. They don't need to know that you've got your own little accounting system going on at home. But you figure out, I need to put in $200 every month in order to fund all of these expenses that I know are coming down the pike, so I will be ready when they get here. That is a secret to living debt-free, is to anticipate all of these irregular expenses and to prepare accordingly.
Well, and it also gives you a bit of a budget if we use that Christmas example and kind of what I said I do, maybe it's irregularly, but purchase a couple of gifts in key months so that I don't have all of those gifts to purchase the week before Christmas. And it's a way to kind of spread out that money. And then, but if you were to save it every month and then you had this large portion of money, you could just say, hey, this is what we're going to spend on Christmas, and we're not going to spend any more, and then you would have a very nice January.
You would, absolutely, and I wanted to congratulate you on your early Christmas shopping. It's fantastic. You were able to do that with cash and not put it on credit cards that are going to cause you a big headache come the 1st of January. It's very smart. I mean, that is rule 4 in action. I think my way is always best, but I'm realistic here. I know people have their own way to put rule number 4 activated in their lives. Fantastic. That is wonderful. If you want to prepay your life insurance policy, that would be good too. Pay it now, then you won't have to worry. Think about it, and then you can start anticipating the next year. But whatever it is, the problem is that most of us are so tight financially that we're barely getting through the week till the next paycheck. It's more than we can bear to think about expenses that are going to happen in 6 or 8 months from now. And that's so wrong. I want to help you get to the point where you have the freedom to anticipate in that way.
Well, some good words from Mary Hunt. That's from her book, 7 Money Rules for Life, How to Take Control of Your Financial Future. Joe Bender talked with her about that book. We got through a few of them. Spend less than you earn, save for the future, give some away, anticipate your regular expenses, a couple others as well. Tell your money where to go, manage your credit, and borrow only what you know you can repay. So,
great advice from her.
Pretty solid, yeah.
You find the full interview, too, at our website. Search for Mary Hunt. It's there.
Yeah, debtproofliving.com is her website. And earlier, our conversation with Rusty Leonard about being a wise investor. And it is possible to use biblical principles for responsible investing, and you can find out more about that. Rusty Leonard's with stewardshippartners.com or ministrywatch.com. Check that out as well. If you missed part of that show, you can hear it again. We post the interviews on our show page, the Connecting Faith show page, at myfaithradio.com. It's myfaithradio.com. Go to Connecting Faith. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about rescuing the gospel. It's Reformation Day, and we're going to celebrate with Erwin Lutzer. A great time. Hope that you can join us for that tomorrow here on Connecting Faith. Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. And you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.